Welcome to Pastor Matters, the podcast of the Center for Preaching and Pastoral Leadership at Southeastern Baptist Theological Seminary. We hope this conversation will both equip and encourage you to lead healthy churches that make disciples for the glory of God.
Hi, I'm Chuck Lawless.
And I'm Caleb Iverson.
And we welcome you again to another episode of Pastor Matters. Caleb, let's talk about corporate prayer meetings in this podcast. And we again have our guest now, our friend, our frequent podcast guest, Dr. Tom Meliff. But I think about a corporate prayer meeting that was really special to me. I had been invited to Moscow, Russia, to teach Russian believers to pray. Hmm. And so I prepared and flew over there, got to the first group of believers, and a missionary with us said, let's stand and pray, because that's what the Russian believers do. And we started praying, going around the circle. I didn't understand a word they were saying, but 2 hours later, we stopped praying.
Wow.
And I remember thinking about 45 minutes into this, I have no idea why I'm here to teach these people how to pray.
Hmm.
It was a powerful reminder of the prayers of God's people around the world, and those who in tough situations sometimes just learn to commune with God in the midst of difficulty. So it was quite an experience for me. Tom, it is good to have you on the podcast again.
Always a joy, Dr. Lawless, my friend, my mentor, and Caleb, it's great to be with you again.
Well, let's start, Tom. Let's just get to some basics. What's one of your favorite verses regarding prayer and the power of prayer?
You know, I could list several, but 1 John 5, verses 14 and 15 always come to my mind, because it speaks about prayer as an exercise. It tells us the extent and the expectation of prayer, and then it tells us the essence of prayer. It's all right there in this one verse. This is the confidence which we have before Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have the request which we have asked from Him. What a contrast to what I hear in most people's prayers.
Mm, that's good. That's good. Let me go in a different direction, one that I've heard you talk about before. So I'm just going to lay out the question and let you teach us here. I remember when I was a young believer, most churches had a prayer meeting, a midweek prayer meeting. It wasn't always a prayer meeting per se, but we at least tried to get there. What I'm seeing now is more and more churches that are no longer even considering that possibility. So talk with us about the significance of churches praying together, and how might we strengthen that?
Well, you know, the standing joke is that you go to a prayer meeting on Wednesday night in many churches to hear an organ recital. I had this organ taken out last week, and I had this organ got diseased the week before, and I have friends that have other organs that have problems. Well, I'm just kidding, and I shouldn't be kidding about this. You know, I think that many churches, and I've said this is my humble, but I think highly accurate opinion, in the past, and this is the reason they're failing, and maybe they should, had prayer meetings not so much to pray, but just to occupy the adults while the kids were being occupied. And there was very, very little thought given to it.
Mm.
And in fact, the move then began to that you had all these other organizational meetings during that time, choir rehearsal and other things. And this was sort of the place where you babysat people who weren't involved in anything. Well, you couldn't expect them to pray either. Anything worth anything deserves the kind of attention, and that people who have hearts for prayer can give it. And I would say that prayer meetings failed in the past, not because prayer fails, but because people fail to give it the proper planning and priority that it ought to have, the place in the heart of the church it ought to have. There are other churches that have prayer meetings that are intense and effective, and it's the place of heat in the church. And so it hasn't disappeared solely, but I would say in many churches it did. And that's really sad, isn't it? That's just a tragedy.
I think about the pastor listening to Osama who would say, "And I want my church to go there, but we've tried that. It's hard to get people to come out just for prayer. It gets frustrating. It gets defeating. I don't know if we can do that." What would you say to that pastor? How might he at least get started again?
Well, I would say it's an adjustment in his own heart that needs to take place. If it is his passion that his church prays, then he'll do his best to find a way to bring that to pass. And, you know, I could suggest a number of different ways that you could do that, but it has to begin with a passion in the heart of somebody, preferably the pastor of that church, has to be passionate about prayer and realize how vital it is to the health of the church and to the church's ministry in a community and around the world.
Yeah, I have seldom seen a praying church without a praying pastor first.
I don't know that I've ever seen one.
Yeah, I say seldom. I don't know that I ever have either. And that's convicting for me, Tom, even not as a lead pastor these days, but looking back across my ministry and asking how well did I do in just modeling that kind of praying for the people that the Lord called me to lead. And I know I have much room for improvement and continue to learn through folks like you.
You know, you and I, Dr. Lawless, and I think I sense this in Caleb's heart as well, we love stories. And the sad thing is that you have to go to a lot of churches and hear a lot of preaching these days before you hear pastors talk about a current experience of answered prayer. It just doesn't happen. And so, you know, the obvious is obvious. People talk about what they do, and people talk about what's exciting to them. And if a pastor doesn't share constantly from his heart, "God, I want to tell you, this week, God answered a remarkable prayer that I've been praying for years, and look what God has done." Well, when that happens, it stirs up in the hearts of people who have need, "Well, I want my pastor to pray for me, or I want this church to pray for me." And but you know, what happens in your life is the kind of stuff that you talk about. And if you never hear much about it, it's because it's not happening.
Yeah, and I think about
that.
It's
so sad because, like I say, it's the one thing God gives us that we can get better at until the very second we die.
Yeah, I think about that, Tom, just what you said. If all of my stories of answered prayer are past tense, that's a problem. I think the same way about my evangelism stories. If all of my stories of talking to others about Jesus are in the yesterdays of my life, something's missing in the present tense of my life where the Lord just wants to work through us today if we would just put ourselves in a position for that to happen.
Absolutely. And you live it and you breathe it. Now, I'm not denying, Dr. Lawless, that there are some people who that is sort of their thing. It's where God has allowed them to park their spiritual car. But the reality is we are all commanded to pray. We're told that this is, you know, it's the only arena in which you say, if you ask anything according to his will, he hears you, and if he hears you, you get it. You know, where? And Jesus said the same thing. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask what you will. Well, it sounds reckless, but it's pretty safe. Abide in me, my words abide in you. Ask what you will, it shall be done unto you. Where in the world do we get the idea that there's a quicker way to get to God than through prayer? Or the quicker way to get God's answer than through prayer? It's just not available to us.
Here at Southeastern, we believe that the Great Commission is the church's mission. That is why we are committed to ministry preparation in partnership with the local church. Through more than 40 advanced graduate and undergraduate degrees, we offer robust biblical and theological education that equips students to serve the church and fulfill the Great Commission. Visit sebts.edu to learn more.
Well, Tom, along with that, I think pastors that are listening, I'm even thinking for our college ministry at our church, we've talked about some ways to prioritize prayer. We talked about prayer meetings. We talked about starting with yourself engaging in the practice of prayer. Are there other ways that pastors can engage and it will encourage the church to engage and prioritize prayer? Are there examples of things that you've done in the past to help lead the church in that direction?
Sure, sure. Let me just say, though, that it has to be obvious to the church that this is a big issue, a big component of the pastor's life. Hmm. He just can't get up and announce something into existence that is not evident in his own life. How many churches, how many times in your church have you had a conference solely about prayer? How many times have you preached a series simply about prayer? How many times have you invited people to your pulpit to share with your church whose testimony and whose life is one of answered prayer? The pastor has at his disposal so many different opportunities. Who else has the kind of opportunities a pastor has to invite, to schedule, to plan, to work, to keep something out front? And they do. There are other things, however, that get the notoriety so often. But so I would say, yes, there are many things. I would encourage any pastor himself to become a reader voluminously of biographies of men and women whose ministries were characterized by prayer. And by the way, there are plenty of those. And I would, I'm not even going to try to list them here, but I would just say that you just get involved. It's hard for me not to talk about something like a J.O. Frazier, for instance. It's just difficult for me to think about prayer and not think about him. And these men, every man, as someone has said, is a product of the books he reads and the friends he keeps. And I'd add to that, and the Lord he serves and the music he listens to, but the books he reads. And so many pastors, if I had a choice to read about a man who could teach me how to pray and a man who said, I got 6 ways you can grow your church, I'd go to prayer. Hmm. Because that's the way the church ought to grow.
Yeah, and Tom, to your point, that's not entirely counter to all pastors, but I'm not convinced we all think about we want to go to prayer first as opposed to learning methods for growing our churches. One of the things I wish our listeners could see, Caleb and I have the benefit of, we're recording you via a computer screen. We can see you. We can see your eyes. We can see your eyes light up when you talk about prayer, almost coming through the screen, because this intimate relationship with God and knowing God through prayer and leading other people to know God through prayer is really a big piece of your heart, isn't it?
It has to be. All things come by faith. I mean, you think about it. We're saved by faith. We live by faith. We walk by faith. We fight by faith. We pray by faith. We gain the victory by faith. We stand by faith. We overcome by faith. I mean, all of these. How are you going to be a man of faith if you are not in the Word? Mm. And how are you going to be in the Word if it does not affect you so much that you begin to pray according to what the Word says, pray in faith. So, it is a failed formula that simply says, oh, and by the way, pray. It should be let's talk about prayer. And then, by the way, there were a few things that happened that you might want to try, but nothing is worthwhile unless you pray first.
It is a failed formula to say, oh, and by the way, let's pray.
Yeah.
Got it. Challenging and convicting as usual. Let me go in a different direction, Tom. We've talked about this in the past on our podcast. You have had a number of mentors throughout your ministry and still do. How important have they been in your life? Maybe not an entire congregation praying together, but certainly you and some other men praying, some other folks praying. How important have mentors been in your life to teach you how to pray?
Well, first of all, let's just say that mentors are incredibly important. And one of the saddest things that I see occurring now is that, I don't know whether it's because of the internet, because there are other things that draw us away, but I talk to so many pastors, and of course, every pastor is a young pastor to me today, who do not have in their lives men who are their mentors, who walk with them, who stand with them through thick and thin, and who pray with them. So you've spoken about mentors, and I think that's important. But why would you want a mentor who is not a prayer? What could he? You say, well, you know, he might teach me how to organize, or he might teach me how to grow. I want to know where this man gets what he's got, and if it didn't come through prayer, then I don't think it has much lasting ability or impact in my life. So, I think you need to have mentors in your life.
Again, I quote you, why would you want a mentor who is not a prayer? That's another challenging question for all of us to consider. Listeners, I trust that you continue to grow and are challenged as you listen to Tom. One more question, Tom. Is there any particular book you have read about prayer that you would say to our listeners, make sure you get this book and work through it?
Oh, wow, Dr. Lawless, there's so many. Let's start with a biography. Pick up J.O. Frazier's life story, FRASER, Behind the Ranges. I would use that one, Behind the Ranges. This is a great missionary. He was an engineer who went to China as a single young man. Do we have time for me to tell you about something?
We do.
In his
Our
life?
Listeners want to hear from you.
All right. I told about him some time ago in a meeting of mission leaders, 12 mission leaders, and this has been maybe 20 years ago. And when I finished telling the story, one of the men said, do you want an update on that? And I said, update? He said, yeah. About how his life impacted people. And I said, yeah. He said, well, it just so happens that I and another guy about 3 weeks ago went to that part of the world looking for J.O. Frazier's impact among the Lisu. Mm. And he said, we were driving up at about 10,000 feet right on the border of China. And this guy said, I think those are Lisu. And he said, we stopped the car, and sure enough, they were. And they said, well, we're sort of tracking J.O. Frazier. And he said, they all gasped and stepped back as if they were worshiping and said, yes, we are all descendants of his work. And the guy thought, well, I'll give the ultimate test. And he said, I heard that Lisu Christians were singers, and they all turned around. There were about 12 of them. It was a road crew. And they all turned around and pulled hymn books, by the way, from an alphabet that Frazier helped develop, hymn books out of their backpacks, and stood and sang in four parts at 10,000 feet, Amazing Grace.
Wow.
And they all of them could tell about parents and grandparents had been touched. And as they searched and as they began to research, they found hundreds of thousands of spiritual descendants one guy. Now, he's not the only one who worked up there, but these are people that could trace their spiritual lineage back to J.O. Frazier, who was a praying man.
Wow.
Now, great. I'm sorry I got off.
No. That was worth hearing. You know what, Tom? I want us to do something that we don't typically do on this podcast, and maybe we need to. Maybe I'm under conviction now as I speak, but you've taught us now for a couple of podcasts about prayer. I would love for you, Tom, to pray for our listeners, for pastors around the world, some who are struggling, some who need some hope. I think they would love to hear you intercede for them, and then we'll bring this episode to a conclusion. So would you lead us in prayer?
Father, it is amazing the scope of media and the very fact that as I pray, there are others listening in when really you are the audience, an audience of one. But yet, Father, I've been asked to pray for these others, and I do pray for them. I pray knowing that you know them individually as well as you know anyone else. You know them. You know what makes them tick. You know what their heart's desires are, their needs, their troubles, their concerns, their fears. Lord, we are all your servants. And so we come humbly before you. And Father, I ask that you would reach down into the heart of each listening person and just gently nudge that heart and say, this is for you. This is for you. You've tried everything else. You've gone everywhere else. This is for you. Because all of your life is my call to prayer, my call to worship to you. Would you worship me? Bow before me. Beseech me. And you'll find that I'm not aloof. I'm not off in a corner someplace waiting to hear the loudest voice or the most plaintive plea. I'm here. Father, may you find us becoming praying men and women, and may that make a difference in our world. And I pray these things, Jesus, in your wonderful and your matchless and your saving name. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Tom. And listener, in the quiet of these moments, thank you for listening to another episode of Pastor Matters.
If you found this conversation helpful, consider leaving us a 5-star rating and review. We'd love to hear any feedback you'd be willing to give. As always, it's our mission at the Center for Preaching and Pastoral Leadership to equip and encourage pastors. I hope that we've done that with today's conversation.
And as always, my beloved brothers, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain.